I need to tell you guys about this ad that I heard on the radio the other day. It was, I think it was for Wendy's. And it said, they are now serving Coca-Cola with their breakfast. And they tried to advertise it as like, can you imagine a nice, refreshing Coca-Cola with your breakfast sandwich? And I said, get the fuck out of here. That is disgusting. I do not want Coca-Cola first thing in the morning.
And they wonder why everyone has health issues in this goddamn country.
I'm confused. They don't already serve soda with breakfast at fast food?
They've been doing that for literally the past 50 years at every other fast food place in the world.
I think
They're advertising it is the thing. Like, I walked into a Wendy's and
what's
I was
diabetes?
Like, yeah. Give me a breakfast sandwich, and you know what? A large Coca-Cola. I'd be like, what are you, a psychopath?
I feel like some Coca-Cola and some pancakes would be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it would be. Let's be perfectly honest. Like, most juice in America, like if you're having that shit with your breakfast, just drink a fucking soda. Don't pretend.
Oh, you ain't wrong.
It's juice, so it's healthy. No, motherfucker, you're just missing the bubbles. That's the only thing you're missing.
It's like Sunny D. You know, Sunny D has so much damn sugar in it. Well,
that's because Sunny D is advertises like kids' orange juice.
It's orange juice.
Why don't you just get Tropicana? Like, what's the problem with that kid? No, so like there are people out there that clearly like soda in the morning, and I feel really bad for them. I've heard some other terrible breakfast takes. I think the easiest low hanging fruit here is the English breakfast with beans.
That's weird.
Okay, I actually have some opinions on this.
Go,
okay?
go ahead,
all
please.
Right, all right, I'm putting my foot in the ground. I am calling out. Uh-huh. Jolly, okay? Everyone knows and loves Jolly. They're two British guys.
Who?
They do food.
I was about to say, who the fuck's Jolly?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Go open a YouTube browser tab. Type in Jolly, J-O-L-L-Y.
I'm not
sheep.
They
have incredible, incredible content. However, with the exception of their most recent video, it was like featuring Idris Elba and John Cena, and it was who has
I have
the
seen
better
clips of this.
Breakfast, English or America? And let me tell you, the quote unquote conclusion of the video.
Uh-huh.
And let me finish before we get back to this. Okay, the conclusion of the video was that the English breakfast was better. First of all, that is factually incorrect. Second of all, these two men.
Way to make a soft stance, by the way.
Tim, I was worried.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
Shut the fuck up, Kelly.
This is a rant against Jolly, okay? Y'all have to save your 2 cents, toss them in later. Second of all, these two men have traveled across this great nation eating biscuits and gravy, pancakes, you name it. They have had it. They talk, oh my gosh, it's so good. Oh, this breakfast is so good. Oh, this breakfast is so good. And then they backstab their audience with such... it's propaganda. It's just propaganda.
It's British propaganda.
Propaganda.
Well, shit, Tim, did you send a... did you send a angry email just to display your disapproval of this?
No,
I definitely
you know what I did is I sent them a can of beans with the top decapitated through the mail.
Damn.
To send a message.
Okay. It's Tim.
Damn. Now, second anthrax in that bean.
You led us along for a bit and I was like he's going to try to say that British breakfast is better than American breakfast.
Nope.
So when you didn't say that, I was like, phew, I don't have to fight with Tim.
You cut me open, it is red, white, blue, and biscuits and gravy, okay?
Yes, exactly. That said...
I gotta say... Oh, good.
I did go to the UK last summer, and I did love British breakfast. It was great, because I like beans. I've actually bought the specific beans for, like, breakfast beans. I have some in my
and
house.
Who doesn't love roasted tomatoes on the side?
Right. You know? I like the breakfast beans, and then there was, like... There was like the blood pudding and stuff, and the eggs were always amazing. The bacon was always really good. So like, I don't know. I had really, really good British breakfast. That said, yes, biscuits and gravy and fucking hash brown casserole and
Get fucked. Yeah, like, there's no way.
Dude,
there's no way you're topping
cream chip beef and biscuits is like You're not going to beat that in any country. That's the best breakfast.
Yeah. And so bacon. You could have lots good breakfast. Yeah, there could be good breakfast all across this beautiful world. But the greatest breakfast is right here in the homeland.
Southern breakfast.
Man. I'll tell you something, Kelly. It's on my bucket list because I have never had real black pudding, and I really want to try real black pudding.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I had it at what's the Irish place in the Baltimore Harbor? I forget. It was like,
oh yeah. I feel like I was with you at that meal.
Yeah. I think it was called Lucky's or some shit like that. But like, I remember we went there and, you know, there was a bunch of Irish food. It was, you know, cabbages and blah blah blah. And I saw something that said black pudding, and I was like, what is that? And then they told me, you know, it's the sausage and the cooked blood in the sausage. Blood. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
it was really good.
It is on my list of things I have to eat before I die.
Yeah. So I don't know how authentic it was. Like I said, it was an Irish place in Baltimore. But like, boy, that was good.
Yeah, that was not bad.
Yeah, but Tim, I was going to ask: are these the guys that tried ribs here in America, and the Jolly? Are they the same guys that tried the ribs here in the U.S. And like, I don't know if it was them or some other British guys, but like they took a knife and a fork, and they went to go like cut the rib, and the waiter came over. He was like, "What are y'all doing?" And they're stop. Like, just, "They're like, what?" Stop, he goes, stop. "No, no, no! You're disrespecting the food."
That wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me.
And so he told them like how to pick up the rib and you know like to eat off of the rib, and it was like the face they made was like clearly life changing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Their reactions to food is great. Oh man, watch their hot chicken video. Hilarious!
Hot chicken.
Oh my gosh, their hot chicken video is so funny. Because
if this is the creator I think you're talking about, Tim, they actually interviewed my favorite celebrity chef, and at his restaurant, the Fat Duck. Hmm. So that's definitely a video you have to watch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Heston. So insane. Watching
incredible.
That.
Yeah, I remember watching that video. That was. I'm speechless, you know? It's just, I will never have a food experience like that in my entire life, but it's cool to know that it's out there.
hey, DPS, next year, DPS boys go to the Fat Duck.
Where's the Fat Duck?
Next year, DPS boys.
England.
I mean, I'll go there anyway.
I'm actually going to be going to the UK probably within the next year, because...
it was me.
Rebecca's friend had a baby. Nikki had a baby.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
or she's
that's awesome.
Or she's having one. Whatever.
That's so cool. Aw.
So you're going to go see a fat, juicy baby, and you're going to eat at the Fat Duck.
I will try to go to the Fat Duck if it's possible. Is it anywhere?
It won't be. Don't worry.
It won't be. No.
Well, I will say I'm looking them up. Reservations are required. So
where is it? Where is it located?
Berkshire.
Yeah. I was like, is it Yorkshire? No, Berkshire.
All right. I'll see how far it is.
High Street, Maidenhead, SL628. I don't know how to fucking read these addresses, but...
Fun fact, Heston, the guy that actually runs the place, he never went to culinary school. The first job he had in a restaurant was starting the Fat Duck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and he's a Michelin star chef now.
Yeah.
All right, this place would actually be on the way to where we would be going.
Oh, no!
There you go.
Make a reservation,
right
motherfucker.
Now. Make it right now.
You have to.
A culinary experience.
Yeah, because where we're going is like right near Wales, and it's like directly east of London, and this place is directly east of London.
Oh my gosh.
Cool. We'll see.
Well, Dave, that's dope.
Yeah, go into debt, because, you know, that's a buy now, pay later, baby. Actually, do not ever do that. Buy now, pay later is terrible.
So yeah, that's awful. If you don't have money to buy something, you can't buy it.
Money is imaginary anyway. That's what credit cards are for.
This is also true.
This is a 3-star Michelin restaurant. Sorry, I ain't got that kind of money, John.
That's why I'm saying go into debt, Kelly.
I was like, what is it like?
The biggest, fattest Chase Sapphire.
Well, it's not like a Texas Roadhouse, all right? It's actually...
there's actually something to do with prepared meal.
I think I want to say the most expensive meal I had to pay for was earlier this year. Hannah and I went on our 11th anniversary, and we had that that place in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania called Rubicon. And it was really good. I think it was like $150 for like the two of it. We got like one appetizer, our meal, and then we shared a fig pie. But that was a good place. It was definitely another place where they don't have bartenders; they have mixologists. Like it was like that level.
Oh. 4.5 out of 5 stars.
There's a part of me that fucking hates that.
There is, too.
It's not a bartender. It's a mixologist, also.
I mean,
he can't serve you. He broke his arm jerking himself off earlier. Yeah.
This is the thing. Is that like I definitely would have gotten like an old-fashioned or something, but like Hannah was like extremely pregnant, and I was the one driving. Mm. So I was like, well, guess I just won't.
Also, is a place that has mixologists, I bet they only serve new fashions.
Honestly, the most expensive place I've been to was, if you ever been in Annapolis, Lunes.
I love
Steakhouse. Steakhouse. Oh my god. Spent easily $150 there, but god, that was the best tomahawk steak I've ever had.
Yeah, Rebecca and I go there for Valentine's Day pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh boy, this place does look nice.
No,
wow.
Yeah,
Lunes.
Yeah, like, and honestly, it's a part of it that, I mean, the food's great and all that stuff, but like where we were sat, the booths were like high seated, so like
it's in a very like historic kind of building.
Yeah, so the booths were like tall, so it felt like you were more isolated away from other people. Like you couldn't just hear everyone's conversations and stuff like that. So
it's like a fancy steakhouse.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Did you ever go to Annie's, Jake?
I think I went once for my high school graduation.
Okay. It's like a fancier, smaller Annie's.
Did you not go to my rehearsal dinner?
Mm.
For my wedding?
Was it at Annie's?
Yeah, we went to Annie's.
I didn't go to Annie's.
Did I go to that?
I didn't.
I don't know.
If I did, that went in my mind and went out the other. That restaurant is a
I think John might have excluded us.
Because I didn't remember that at all.
My dad just did not want to pay for you animals.
Our sample, Annie's is expensive.
We would have walked in and been like, can I get three T-bone steaks?
No.
Man, they're prime rib. They're prime rib.
Prime rib's good there.
Bit of cocaine on it.
Well, this is because we are a high-class podcast here on the Dragon Pond Squad. And that's because we make high-quality episodes, like last episode. Hmm. Last episode, we had a little bit of a side thing. By the way, Mark's back.
Yeah, yeah.
How was the woods? I'm sorry.
Yeah, how was being a Sasquatch?
Two things. The woods were great, and I wouldn't be a Sasquatch, for one. I'm not nearly big enough to be a Sasquatch. So get that through your head.
That's my territory.
Yeah, I feel like, and also, no, the
maybe a chupacabra.
No, I'm not. I don't want to go after goats like that. That's just mean. But the woods were great. I was in New York area, like Corning location, so it wasn't New York City because I honestly never want to go to New York City. I don't like high compact cities. I don't want to drive near them. But the areas that I was in were very scenic. I sent a couple pictures to you guys of one of the breweries I went to. There was a storm that hit, which was great because we were like in the brewery, went outside. I was drinking. I was like, I'm having one. I'm driving and stuff. Then a storm hit. Everyone got pushed inside. I'm like, well, guess I'm having another one.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, the area actually that was took other pictures and sent them was in Watkins Glen, which is really cool because it's like a carved out river, like through a canyon and stuff, so you can walk under waterfalls and stuff like that. Oh, the whoever made the park, like, they constructed that like really well. And you know, just a couple other really natural areas. Like honestly, you go to a brewery, distillery, whatever, you look out in the countryside and you're like, well, god damn, I can't afford to live here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in your absence, Garn had a scary flashback.
Yeah.
Or flash forward. We're not quite sure here. But Garn saw the symbol of Asmodeus on Kezra's dragon form. And then, seeing the fiendish form on Ambrose, sends him into this vision. And Garn, what is Garn doing right now? Is he's in like full panic mode?
Yeah, so we ended last episode with Garn calling out for Gorman, and he's just calling out like, "Gorman, no, no, Gorman, they killed you, they," and you see him like. He was like paying attention to Kezar. He was healing him. He fell backwards, and he just has this like kind of like a 1,000-yard stare, and he looks at the symbol, looks at Ambrose. You see him looking back as he's saying this, and he says, "They killed him. They killed him. You killed him. You killed him." And you see that he's just like. Not looking directly at you guys, but kind of, and you just see that he just like drops the miraculous medicines, pulls out the Morning Star, and that familiar holy glow, the yellowish glow that you associate with the exemplar, it turns red.
Mm. Oh fuck.
I think the only appropriate thing here is for everybody to re-roll initiative.
Oh wow. Okay.
Oh boy.
Dicks out. Let's go.
All right. Remember, this is Kezra's fault.
Says the guy who is currently a devil.
Says the guy that's currently wearing the Asmodeus symbol.
Says the guy that is a paladin of a fuck.
Wait, I think I'm innocent here, actually.
Actually, I'm best here.
To be fair, if there is a symbol of Asmodeus, Benson should probably be trying to take care of that.
Try to do something about it, yeah. Benson, what'd you get for initiative?
I am currently pulling up my character sheet that's being slow right now, but I got a 17 on the die. So I am not rolling with intimidation because I did not expect this. So yep, Tim, yes. 17 and 19.
17, 19 is 20. No, 36.
The 36. Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. All right. Kezra, what'd you get?
26.
26.
Classic bad Kezra.
Viscount Ambrose.
Mm. A little bit better than Kezra. 28.
28. And Gan.
31.
Good boy.
So with this encounter starting, Benson, you have seen soldiers fight each other before. Mm-hmm. You see what's about to go down. It is your turn. What do you do?
This is weird because, again, Asmodeus, and I don't like this. I don't like this at all. There is clear intent here.
There is. You see, like, the Morning Star is glowing red, like something's about to pop off.
Benson is going to charge Garn with the intention of smashing into the ground.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead and make a. Let's see. You're just trying to trip him. So you're just trying to like. Well, I'm
shield bash him down.
Okay. So do you want to just like bull rush him? Just put him to the ground because it would be a grapple first and then the trip.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and make the athletics check to try to grapple him.
Oh, that's a fat fail with a 5.
Oh, no.
He's a little determined. He's a little squirrely.
Yep. So he goes over and he tries to push on you and Garn. You feel him try to like grab onto you and you just like dig your feet in and all of you can see his feet just get pushed like 3 feet.
Ooh.
I'm a rock dwarf. I just call out, "Brother, don't you see this? This is what we were sent into the Clashing Shore to fight. They are before us. Can't you see them? They serve. They serve whoever seeks harm. Tukoram."
So that was 2 actions, correct?
Yeah, moving the attempt to grab. So yeah, so you get 1 more.
I am going to attempt to intimidate him.
Oh, snap him out.
Just All right. Stand down, soldier. And I will roll to intimidate. Okay. Not bad, seeing as I have a very good intimidate. This is probably going to be alright. 22. 34.
That is a success.
Okay.
All right, Jake, I'll throw it into your hands. What do you want to happen with Intimidate against me?
I love to think of, like, Benson just pushing up against Garn, and he's just this stone wall, and Benson's just pushing, just stand down, and they're just pushing against each other. Let's see what he does.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it's really like, you know, is Garn going to take an order, or is he acting too much out of fear? Is this pushing him in a way that he's like, Benson doesn't know, you know, like, is he? How do you think Garn is interpreting it?
So I think
that's a great point. Saying the fear of the intimidation could also fuel that. I think that's a great
I think, like, Garn is he gets rocked, and he called you Benson, but you see that he just shakes his head, he looks at you again, and he goes, "But Gorman, I must avenge you."
Oh, that's hard. Ooh. That goes hard.
Ooh.
And eesh. I'm gonna cast Divine Wrath.
Shit.
In the area.
Divine Wrath? Right.
Divine Wrath.
Oh, God.
All right.
So,
I don't often see Kelly nervous.
Oh, for example, like, hit me with a fucking, I don't know, weapon.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to drop the Hammer of God on Kelly's head.
Shit.
So I need everyone in the area to make a fortitude save.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Damn, Divine Wrath got to him.
Okay. All right. What was everybody's save?
Oh, you go.
Mine was bad. It was 29.
Oof.
That's a fail.
That's a fail, yeah.
34.
Oh, hey!
Slow.
Sweet brother. Sweet.
And hey, I just turned 34.
Hey! 34!
Man, I'm not even rolling with the tray. I took the tray away. I'm still rolling poorly.
Oh, no!
You're just cursed.
Maybe I'm
just listened to the last streak. Episode. Oh, my God.
This is worrying.
So, Kazu's going to take 27 points of damage. And the other two are going to take 13.
Do I still take damage on a critical success?
Oh, it's critical success?
Fort save, right?
No damage, brother.
Okay, sounds good to me.
No damage for them, then.
That's for you too, Ambrose?
Yeah, man.
Nice!
Guess what a feat that I have that summoners get called Twin Juggernauts. That sends proficiency 4-2 saves. My 4-2 saves are set to master now.
Oh,
holy shit!
Yeah, level 11.
Here I thought I would be able to get somebody with a 4-2 save, but no.
No, my 4-2 save's actually not bad. So
okay. All right. Well, yeah. So this thing just explodes. This energy, just the divine wrath, just explodes out from Garn. Is that all that you can do on your turn, Tim?
So, after this goes off, mm-hmm. he sees Benson unharmed. Like, he shakes his head again, and he's like, "Benson!" And he looks over at Ambrose, also unharmed, and then he looks down at Kezra, and he just, like, he snaps. He snaps out of it. Like, he drops the Morning Star. He's like, his hands are shaking. And he just stumbles back and he's like, What did I do? What happened? Where are we? Who? What? What? And he just looks like he's kind of dazed after that expulsion of magic.
Are we effectively out of combat?
Well, I'm going to ask Ambrose and Kezra here.
All right.
Ambrose, you, it's your turn next, and then Kezra following that. What do you guys do? Do you do anything in the in your 6 seconds, or do you just kind of step back?
Ambrose casts Finger of Death on. How dare you? No.
Well, if the worm didn't get me, I guess Ambrose did.
Yeah. No. So Ambrose, he survived, like, with it. He took no damage. Like, so he kind of actually almost dismissively, like, takes his hand to his shoulder and just kind of sloughs it off, like, okay, like, that was uncalled for, I believe. But he sees that he is in distress. Like, it's not... He's more empathetic than you might realize, and sees Garn is freaking out. He called Benson a different name. Like, he's knows he's not in his right mind.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to start another combat. Like, he is weary. Like, he's exhausted all of his high-level spells, and he's been reduced back to this form. With his disguise shattered completely. So he will just simply walk, like, with his hands out. And simply says, gone? Oh, I'm moving everyone. All right. yes, he's just gone. I mean, no harm. No one's here to hurt you. And he will do a diplomacy.
Ooh.
Check. This. I mean, it's not the first chaotic dwarf in them ever encountered. 34.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
God damn.
Nice.
Diplomacy isn't bad for me, actually.
Yeah, you definitely see Garn. He seems more at ease after you saying that.
And that's how he's going to end it. He doesn't have anything else he can do.
So Kezra takes a critical hit from Divine Wrath.
Did he?
Burns from this huge flash. And he's like...
Oh, because you rolled like an 8 or something, right?
Yeah. I took a ton of damage.
Wait, how...
Gosh.
Wait, then what... Wait, what was your
that
save?
Was like 48.
No, it wasn't a crit. It was just a lot of damage, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you took a crit. I'm like, wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So he's like... He's like still in dragon form right now. His senses are like on fire. He's still got like a feral nature to him. He immediately goes to trip Garn.
Nice.
So his big ass tail comes swinging around to trip you. Oh, baby. That's really good. all right. 40.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that a crit?
And that's against reflex?
Yes.
That's a crit?
Crit. So you fall and take 1d6 damage.
Oh.
You take 6 damage.
I will retributive strike that. Except I will not be attacking. I will just be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I was like, huh?
So your retributive strike is just gently catching his head before it hits the ground?
Yeah.
Next action, giant dragon claw comes down to grab you and, like, pin you to the ground. Natural
one.
I
love that you're doing this.
There we go.
Wait. That means I can attempt to grapple it. No, I'm just kidding.
I think it does.
No, it just gives the opportunity to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna take the opportunity to grapple it.
So you move and I just completely whiff in anger. I'm just like, try that again. And I will put you down.
It's just like, ha, ha, ha.
And he doesn't he doesn't attack you with his last act.
It's like beating up an old man.
After he sees Garn essentially freeze, he backs off of him, and he will dismiss dragon form.
Okay.
Alright. So everything seems to kind of chill out now.
Benson would like to put himself in between Garn and Kezra.
Yeah, Kezra is cool. He's hurt now, but he's like...
Right.
At this point, he's just like, what was that?
I'm so sorry.
I don't.
And then, like, he's, like, kind of, like, putting the, you could see, like, realization is coming across his face. He's like, the clashing shore, Gorham's death. Before then, I was there before Gorham died. I saw him die, but I had the power of the god. What you saw, that was the divine wrath of Gorham. It's there, but it's not. I was back there. And he looks at Benson. The Church of Iomedae had a job. Job for a Gorman. Gorman the Grave Killer. And a ruffian named Stink. And he just, like, you see as he says Stink, he's like, not Stink. Thrain. And you see, like, tears kind of welling up in his eyes. He was so young. Thrain Forge Spark was his name. he said I didn't know him, but I did. Long ago, I'd run into his father. I didn't expect to meet him on the Clashing Shore, but he's unmistakable. They died before my eyes. I was spared. It was a bad job. It was a suicide mission. And they knew it. Some days I wonder what we do in the name of what is holy. If the end is just the same, then we can't protect the ones around us. I don't know if it'll happen again. When I touched this damned Morning Star, it took me to a place. I'm realizing now that I was there a lot longer than I thought. I thought it was just an instant, and I came back completely different. I was a powerful, powerful caster. I could transport myself using my spiritual energies. You saw the divine wrath. That didn't hurt you, as expected, and looking at Ambrose, it didn't hurt you either. I could encourage people on the battlefield, protect them with magics, but now it's gone. And instead I have these other abilities that show themselves in strange and erratic ways, and a whole transformation like that doesn't happen overnight, doesn't happen in an instant. I have a lot of unaccounted for time, and I don't want to. I'm not here to hurt my allies, but I can't promise safety.
Benson will put a hand on your shoulder. We can't understand the will or the knowledge of the gods. It's impossible. We can't understand what's going to happen. What you have gone through is clearly horrible. But we are not currently in a place where we can let our guards down. So please, please, work with us until we're safe.
I shall.
And then Benson is going to cast Lay on Hands on Kesra.
Thank you. I don't know. You think you're going to have more outbursts like that?
Well, it happened just now, did it? Did it not? I've never experienced anything in my whole 247 years on Galarian. I've never known of anyone to experience this. It's all new. And the merging of reality and memory. It's a powerful thing. I don't know if there are any seers or prophets where we are headed. But I do need someone.
to help me sort through this. My connection to Gorham is gone. It was here just now. But I pray every morning, as I used to. For over 200 years, my mornings have been the same. But the difference ever since I touched this thing is there's nothing on the other end. There's no one on the other end. Until just now. But was that me? Was that a me gone? A me in the future? A me in the past? A me, a different me from another universe?
Benson puts his both hands on his shoulders, goes, what's important is that you're here now. Are you here now?
He, like, looks down. You can see he looks like he's trying to, like, conjure, you know, the red glow, the font of Gorham, and nothing. Well, I am me as you met me.
That's the only you I'm caring to see right now. I know it's hard, and I have no idea what it means, but pick that mace up, soldier.
He, like, picks it up, and the soft yellow warm glow appears again.
Kezra looks at Ambrose. And he, I think he just for the first time realizes that he is a tiefling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he asks, is your ghostly knight still standing next to you?
Oh, yeah.
How big is he?
The knight is, well, which, what, Ambrose or the knight?
The knight.
The knight is maybe, like, a couple inches taller than him. Like, he's, like, 6'2", roughly. The knight's, like, 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a summoner before. So I'm gonna see if I know what you are first.
Wait, who told you?
We got a 30 in Arcana. Do I know what a summoner is?
That should easily... Well,
yeah. I mean, that you know that. I mean, because of the fact that he literally summoned a creature. Yeah, he clearly has some, like, powerful summoning abilities,
and it, like, came forth from his body.
Not
a summoning circle.
The way he summoned this thing was just different. Because I mean, I clearly summon dragons and stuff, but it looks different. It feels different. It manifested different.
And since Kezra is actually close enough, you do see on Ambrose, like, that there's, like, besides his features are fairly similar to how he was. He's very well put together. His outfit is a little bit different. Like, on his collar, there's, like, almost like a, I'm thinking of the word for it. It's not like a bandana, but it's, like, wrapped around his neck.
Ascot?
Yeah, it's kind of like an ascot, but it's, like, silvery in color and stuff. There's, like, the faint form of teeth, like, in it.
He's got a sweet wallet chain from Hot Topic.
That I wish. Like, he's wearing a cloak and stuff like that that looks totally different. But, like, his refinement's there. But the one thing is that along part of his face, there's, like, text almost. And it just constantly seems like you'll try to do anything with it. It just doesn't make sense. Like, it said, like, it's, like, cascading down his face and presumably down the rest of his body.
Dang, is it? I'm guessing it's, like the devil language. I can't remember what it is, what that's called.
Infernal.
Infernal, right.
You could always try to make a check for it.
No. Cool. he's less interested in the writing. He's like,
Lord, you, bag of tricks over here. I've always heard the connection between the summoner and the Eidolon is special, even torturous at times.
And he kind of looks to the knight next to him, and he calls him, yes, it is quite torturous at times as well, Lucas.
Lucas is my former knight errant. He is quite bound to me.
I always knew there was something strange about you, Ambrose, as Benson walks over from Garn.
And it's kind of when Benson speaks, he smiles kind of a little bit more, and goes, oh, yes. I suppose I played my hand a couple times during our first meetings. But
I'm not quite as blind as the priest believed I was.
But no, it is quite a slight torturous experience. If you entertain the thought of me joining you continuously, despite you have to understand, I was kind of playing with the disguise. It's easier to run around in Galarian without, you know, being a devil.
I was going to say your disguise was impressive. Didn't pick up on it.
And then he kind of pulls out a wand that kind of turns to ash in his hands. He's like, well, that was, of course, the last charge of it. I would have to say I wasn't expecting to use a charge so quickly, but there was these two kobolds that tried to get in my room. And I didn't want them finding my form, so I had to burn. I taxed it. But the
Benson reaches out a hand to grasp Ambrose's. Isn't enough of this talk. We are men of Cheliax.
It's good to see you again. Believe me, it's been a harrowing journey. And when you say bag of tricks there, Mr. Kezra, I've never seen anyone turn into a dragon before.
Yeah, that's a new one, isn't it? For me. It's an incredible power. One I feel like I've been chasing my whole life.
It is quite impressive. How victorious we are. All of us. And then he looks to the worm. Against this foul creature. I've never seen one before. And how hideous it is.
Kezra wants to try a check. I imagine this thing's a knowledge nature.
Nature?
It'd be nature, yeah, definitely.
I do have knowledge
nature. I don't have nature.
Yeah.
I'll roll it. I can. Well, I guess I can. I do it untrained. Recall knowledge. Yeah, you can do it. You can do it untrained. So I'm untrained in this. But yeah, I want to know more about like what's the deal with purple worms.
Okay.
25.
Let me see. The only thing I'll say, because it's you're too far off for me to give you even the name, really. But you've heard of like legendary, like burrowing worm creatures. So you're like, holy shit, this is one of those things that like people talk about, but you have no idea behind it. The things you might learn too is the fact that it was poisoning. So that's like one detail that the people that got poisoned would be able to tell you about, but other than that, there's not much here I can really give you.
Okay.
Ambrose, that
I rolled lower.
You rolled lower. Okay. Yeah.
Garn's been around the block. Let's see if he's heard tale of these great burrowing worms.
You gonna roll lower 5 king's pounds again?
I mean, I have like the untrained improvisation or whatever, I can roll.
I would think dwarves would be in the 5 King's Mounds as well.
Maybe.
You think dwarves don't talk about that as like a scary bedtime
story?
They're
like, dude, don't go down this tunnel. There's a fucking worm down there.
If you go down the tunnels, the worm will fucking get you.
If you go to bed past 10 o'clock, the worms will get you.
All right, would you get Tim?
29.
Okay. Applicable lore-wise, I'll say yes. Yeah. So 29 does work, only in the way that purple worms... I'll say this. So you know about, like, the venom, you know about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that you hear is just that, like you know purple worms are very, very deep. They don't come up to where, like, the dwarves were, like, in the mountains and stuff like that. So, like, you're now at the point that you're, like, we are deep somewhere. Whoa. If there's a purple worm here. I will give you a very interesting thing that probably would not have come up, but is very cool. They have something called inexorable. Do you know what that means?
I've heard the word.
Is that shedding?
Okay. So the purple worm recovers. Yeah. Yeah, the purple worm recovers from the paralyzed, slowed, and stunned conditions at the end of its turn.
Whoa.
What?
That's not an action, by the way. It just does.
It's passive. Oh my god.
You can't stop them.
It's also immune. It's also immune to penalties to speed and immobilized condition, and it ignores difficult terrain and greater difficult terrain.
That actually makes complete sense.
That makes sense. Yeah. They tunnel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. But it's just one of those things that it's pretty much a legendary creature, and so it's like they don't have a way to stop it.
Huh.
Like, you can't paralyze this fucking thing.
I'm pretty sure there's an even more powerful one that lives in volcanoes. Yeah.
Ooh.
They're way more powerful.
Is there any way Benson can... Is there, like, a scale or something Benson can carve off this thing?
Yeah, and if you want, yeah. I mean, you could certainly take a piece of it.
Before we leave this...
It has a very...
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, a very iconic purple carapace. So, yeah, you could easily take off, like, you know...
Yeah, I'm taking a fucking war trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, and big, big old teeth.
Sure.
Yeah. Big old chompers.
Those teeth are probably the size of freaking longswords.
Oh, yeah.
We made the Dune reference before, but I mean, making a dagger out of that?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Before we leave this room, I want to blast out some detect magic and start making sure there's nothing else in this room or in this worm or something.
Any hidden goodies that we found in, like, the other room?
Something in its digestive tract that hasn't passed.
I don't know what they eat. Everything.
Yeah. There's nothing they won't try.
He swallowed something with an archmage staff. Who would have known?
Crazy. It's just stuck in his tooth. So you do detect magic. You look for some pings beyond your friends. You don't feel anything past that.
Okay.
All right. Benson is ready to move to the next room, and he is intent on being the first one to do so.
All right,
do we want
question.
To go upper tunnel? Or
how much
tunnel?
Was that lay on hands for?
Oh, Christ.
What is it like? 36, I think. 36, or no.
Yeah. Is it 48?
I think it was 36 last. I think it's higher than that now.
48, then. I would say wait 10-minute rest, though, just to get my focus spells back.
I do have treat medicine, and I can...
Yeah,
I think I can do it every... I have, like, continual recovery, so I can... I can treat wounds every 10 minutes.
Okay.
So my medicine's pretty high. Even with a natural 1, I can succeed at the lowest DC. So Jake, if you just want to hand wave that, we're all full.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Everything down here is unnervingly quiet.
Yeah.
Especially after this worm. You assume if there was anything down here that it definitely isn't here now.
Huh.
All right, so
Do we want to go?
There's actually one way out. The hallway on the southern side that just ends in a little crystal patch.
Where'd the worm come out from? We're going down there.
Go down that
giant hole.
Let's find the son of a bitch that sent this to us.
He's got to be at the end of this worm tunnel.
It's filled with lava.
Yeah, so Benson will start moving down the tunnel.
All right. Let me ask you guys something.
Uh-huh.
It starts to get dark as you guys move away from the crystal tunnels.
Oh, wonderful.
What's your vision like, everybody?
I'm a dwarf. I have dark vision.
I'm a human, so I also don't have dark vision.
I only have low light.
Yeah, I have low light.
Okay. So, Garn, you realize you are the only one who can see as you hear the other... You hear the three of them start to trip and stumble.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. for some reason, I'm looking at my Eidolon, he has dark vision.
Oh. I don't. Hold your hand.
Yeah, he hold my hand. But it's actually funny that because with what, there's just so many things that summoners get, but like what I can do is do, where was it called? Share senses. As long as, well, it takes an action, so I'm not sure, but it's like concentrate basically for that. So I guess I can continuously. Wait, am I sensing my eidolon at the moment?
Okay.
Oh, but you can sense your eidolon's body up to 1 minute. But that, okay, that's if I send him ahead. So I'm just going to have him ahead of me, just
okay,
leading.
Got it. All right, so let me go ahead and... so I'm going to bring everybody over.
Okay.
But you'll see that the only two that have any vision are going to be the eidolon and Garn.
Nice.
So,
do we really not have like an effort burning torch?
I have light cantrip.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Illuminate, actually.
Yeah, illuminate. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to, cast illuminate, I can put an illuminate on somebody. Like if you want to put it on Benson's shield or some shit.
Oh yeah, that's actually cinematic.
Does it look black and white?
Yes, dark vision in Foundry makes everything black and white.
Oh, sick!
That goes cool. Do you have Illuminate or Light?
I have Illuminate.
Okay, so Illuminate lights all non-magical light sources in the area. So, I have torches in my bag. I have an adventurer's pack with torches.
Oh, okay, so we could just put
it
on.
So does Benson.
So, I have five torches. So,
who wants to hold a torch?
I have free hands.
Yeah. And the thing is, Illuminate does, at this point, because it's a cantrip that ranks up, 80-foot emanation.
Holy shit.
Oh, okay, so
it's a pretty strong fucking cantrip.
So is it 80 feet bright?
It's 80-foot emanation.
80 feet of objects you can do.
Oh, okay.
So it
says
you
light
sorry.
All non-magical light sources in an 80-foot area. So
Oh my god, the entrance you could make by walking into a room and lighting up every torch in 80 feet.
I'm sure in his.
All right, what's the light radius?
It's 20 feet of bright, 20 feet of dim.
Right, so 20 bright, 20 dim. Okay. Okay. Kezra, I gave you light. Okay. So you guys should see your little pocket here. And what you see before you is a tiny, tiny hallway. So you finally come up to worked stone. This is something you have not seen for about 20, 30 minutes as you walked. The last worked stone you saw was the portal. So this is the first time you've seen worked stone at all. When you get here, you can see that inside of in between these two walls is a crack that looks like some tectonic plate shifted or something, and it split this stone wall out. And there's a path you could squeeze yourself into. However, I'll say this: when you start getting up here, you hear what sounds like two voices arguing in some weird, weird language. And it sounds like some creature that is... It sounds like an animalistic type creature. It sounds like it's sort of angry, maybe eating something. And then you hear these voices talking back and forth.
I think Garn's going to want to go ahead because he has dark vision, so you don't take the light too close.
Benson is going to try to go first instead.
So Garn just kind of tugs at you, and he's like trying to be quiet. Like, did you hear what's up ahead?
Of course, I heard it.
Do you want me to go look and report back? yes.
All right. Benson will just nod, just like, be careful.
All right, so I will attempt to stealth ahead.
All right. Go ahead and make me a stealth check.
All right. right.
So you're crawling. If you guys have ever, Mark, I know you played the newest God of War games.
Yeah.
You know those things where you sidle through those. Yeah, it's like that. That's what Garn's
doing
just here.
Crammed in a space.
Yeah, you just squeeze in between those two surfaces.
Oh, did we mention that today's episode is brought to you by Black Oak Workshop, where dice is treasure?
Means you rolled well.
Yes, it did.
you have to talk good. You have to talk good when you roll nat 20. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's it.
Nat 20s.
All right, so Garn, so you can go ahead and move through that. Put yourself at the very edge of that hallway, though, and I'm gonna reveal the creatures you see. Okay.
Oh, shit.
So you see one creature to the north, the same creature to the southeast, and then you see another creature that's on the ceiling. So I'm gonna reveal them in turn. Okay.
Okay.
So the first creature you see. Looks like this.
What?
Oh,
God damn it.
Yes.
So this creature has, it's humanoid-ish, okay? It's bipedal, at least. It has two arms that actually split at the forearms, at the elbows, uh-huh. into two other arms. And then it's where its head should be is a giant maul.
Think Stranger Things and Hitmonchamp.
That's a good way to put it. So, yeah, very much like the Demogorgon from Stranger Things, it looks a lot like that. There's another one of those, so let me reveal the one. So you see that one to the north? Another one of those is to the south, okay? And you see them talking back and forth between... they're, like, motioning between themselves and this other creature that is hanging from the ceiling, and it looks like it is eating some kind of... subterranean rat.
Oh gosh!
This thing.
What the hell are you?
Massive vampire bat.
So it does look like a giant vampire bat, and it's just hanging from just like some fixture in the ceiling.
Jeez.
Let me explain the room as well to kind of give you. Oh wait, let me show you this creature. They're all large, by the way.
Yeah. Vampire bat's so cool. It's hanging from a stalactite.
Yeah. So, two dry fountains sit in the center of this 30-foot-high domed roof chamber. Noxious-looking patches of sickly fungus grow in thick tangles around each fountain, while the walls bear carvings of dwarves engaged in lively debate. The carvings are damaged and partially obscured by swaths of mold.
No.
So, there's a lot of things hitting you here, Garn. These creatures, but also, you're in dwarf territory, it seems.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay.
Any knowledges you want to roll or anything like
that? Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, give me an applicable lore, or I'll tell you if you have occultism, or... Arcana or nature on the other thing.
Okay. Looks like the best I could do is nature.
Okay. So this would be nature on nature on the bat thing is what that is.
I have no clue what the bat thing is with a natty one.
Oh, yep. That's just a giant vampire
just a
bat.
Giant
you
vampire
think it's
bat.
You think it's gonna suck your blood through its eyes?
Definitely.
But it doesn't have eyes.
And then pretty weak with a 23 for the other.
Yeah, not too sure on the other things. They are in all the stories you've ever heard from your dwarven ancestry. These don't fit anything that you remember.
Yeah. So I'm going to hopefully rely on my previous nat 20 and go back.
Yeah.
All right.
You're able to relay the information back to these guys.
Yes, and I look at like Kezra and Ambrose. Just lots spells in there. If you have area of effect, I don't think they could squeeze through. We could just blast them, burn them alive.
I like that idea.
Doesn't seem like things like this would burn.
Well, no, won't know till we try.
Is it a straight shot?
Yeah. So it's a well. it is a hallway, but it's not like
it's longer than it looks in the map, sort of thing.
No, it's not necessarily that. It's just that like when I described like, you know, crawling through like that squeezed portion.
Yeah.
I think it would be hard to like throw something
like
through.
Like you're going like around like rock, jutting out rock, and you're kind of like worming your way through.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, right.
Ugh. We don't have any way to like pop us in there. Like us going through here is, I mean, it's like a meat grinder, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, Benson can get through with his cloak.
Right.
How far is the opening?
It's only 20 feet. It's only like a 20 foot squeeze.
But so if one of you wanted to go in there and start throwing shit, if it goes south, Benson can just be there.
From the layout, because I don't have any AoE spells besides a focus spell that I can do, but it requires my Eidolon to be in there, and he can stealth in.
I have an idea. Can I get far enough down this opening? Like, if I left the torch here, I have low light vision, okay. Like, leave it with Benson on the floor. Can I get far enough down this little tunnel to where I can see both my friends and the room from like the midpoint or something?
I would say so, as long as they all like, you know, that they're all sticking their head over each other and stuff like that. Yeah,
I can get two of you in there, no problem. I'd have to get in as far as I can go. And then whoever's last would have to just come behind me.
I feel like me and Vince.
I feel like me and Benson would be the best choices.
That's likely the move.
All right. You two, crowd the entrance. Make sure you can see me.
And I'm going to make my way into the crevice.
Okay.
As he does this, Benson reaches over, grabs Garn's shoulder, because when we get in there, back to back, always.
Yes.
Do not leave my side.
Yes, sir.
Alright, I'm trying to see if I want to cast anything on myself first.
Yeah, it's a good time to slap yourself I'm guessing ass with some stuff.
Yeah, you gotta cast haste on yourself again.
Yeah, is this hallway, I'm
ooh.
Guessing, is all. Yeah. Shut up. This hallway is all difficult terrain, or it's like squeezy. You move 5 foot per action.
Okay, it's squeezing.
Wow, so whoever comes in behind me, so if I'm what here, I'm 10 feet from the opening. Okay,
yeah.
So I'm 10 feet from the opening. I can barely see my friends. This room's starting to open up. And yeah, I'm going to do some buffs here before I do this. I will give, you know, Garn has some cool action economy. I'm gonna give Garn haste. I feel like Garn's got a bag of actions he wants to use.
Yeah.
So I'll give you haste, and I will give Benson Mountain's resilience, which is
let's go
5 resistance to physical. All right. So Benson solidifies up, Garn, you feel twitchy, like ready to go, and then you feel this like ethereal tendrils reach out and grab you, and boom, you both disappear, and you appear 15 feet inside this room, right here, as I cast collective transposition.
Yes. Ooh,
let's go, so crazy.
All right, so Benson and Garn are the only two moving
move
in there.
Yeah, two people willingly. At a higher levels, you can do more, but at first, it's two people if they're willing.
All right, let me move Garn in. All right, so Garn and Benson are in. Kezra is in the hallway. Ambrose and his knight are squeezing.
Yes.
All right, At that moment, I would like all of you to roll initiative. As all of these... Oh my god, there's so many creatures going to be in this initiative. So Jesus Christ.
You guys are bloop. Oh my gosh.
They're like, what the hell?
Alright, let me...
We were eating cave along. Rat.
Just one good initiative. Just one good initiative.
Okay.
Damn, it's the same as
let me go
time.
Ahead and...
Always a nine!
Oh, Kelly, Kelly, Kelly.
Would you allow Benson to roll intimidation as initiative?
Yeah, I would say that you're trying to make the entrance, you're trying to take them off guard. I would say you can roll initiative, yeah.
Thank you very much.
It just appears and just starts screaming at them. You're like, whoa!
Alright, get your pencils, your tippity-tappy fingers ready for a new giveaway code. Giveaway code is House Black. Hit up one of the DPS over on Discord and message them House Black for your bonus giveaway code.
Alright, they have rolled. The other thing, the flying thing, rolled so well, dear God. Okay. And then, let's see. Okay. Benson, what'd you get?
37. And I'm attempting to intimidate the flying creature.
Yeah.
Flying one. Okay. All right. We will go ahead and deal with that in a minute. Ambrose.
31.
31. Gezer.
26 again.
20 is the X.
Boo.
And Gan.
34.
34. Good number. Okay. John, you tried to do the intimidate against the flying creature.
Yes.
And
it does not have to speak my language.
That is true. All right, so you... sorry, does his initiative carry, or does he get to make a free one? He gets to make a free one, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the case.
Yeah, make a free initiative.
Yeah, okay.
So, or a free.
All right. So make the free intimidation.
I'm so sorry. I rolled better. Oh. So Tim, 22 plus 17.
39.
39. So that is definitely a crit.
Fuck yeah.
So this thing is frightened a 2.
Frightened 2.
A 3. Let's go.
Okay. So
make a joyful noise to Gorum.
Yeah.
This creature is going to drop its rat, and since you frightened it too, it's actually just going to hang up there and just scream at you.
Go home. We don't want you here.
Hey, the boys were just enjoying food.
So that is all it's going to do there. It is actually your turn, Benson. After that goes.
So I cannot see that much in this room.
Nope, not really. So here's the deal.
Oh,
is that
it's dark.
Because it's dark.
I am going to... Okay, so if I ready my action...
Well, wait. Sorry. Did you... Where's the torch? Because
I did say I gave it to Benson, but that would require Benson having one hand...
He could just drop it.
So you could drop it. It would give you all the light for 40 feet or 20 feet for you.
I will drop a torch.
Okay.
Use a second action to pick up... Or is dropping something an action?
That's free. But you'll have to draw,
free,
your,
yeah.
you'll have to draw your sword or shield.
Pick up my shield.
Okay. So I put a light source directly on your token, so that is where the torch is.
Benson will then... Move. Does he want to move? Yeah, he does want to move.
So you see the large creature directly to the north of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And is that the one you're going towards?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Garn, back to back. Benson and Garn. We're going to do this shit.
All right.
I don't know what that is.
That's all my move economy.
Okay. It is now. The one you just approached his turn.
Wait, so So I'm sorry. You dropped the torch. You pulled out your shield. First action. Moved. Second action.
Oh, I would get a third action.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because the intimidate was free. So yeah. Yep, so yep. you will get one attack off at least.
Oh, 6 on the die. Hate to see it.
Womp womp.
What's the total? What's the total? Never know.
That's true.
26.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. So. So the next one that goes is the one that you just approached. Mm-hmm. It is going to. Let's see. It's got two of you in front of it, but I think it's just going to strike twice at Benson. So he's just going to like swash. So these four claws are just swinging down at you, Benson. So first attack is going to be a 36 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay. 25 points of slashing damage.
All right. 24 points. No, 23
Two.
Points of slashing damage.
22.
Yeah, 22. Yeah. Next attack.
But what about the 5 to physical?
Oh, and Mountain's Relentless.
That's all right.
So oh, 17. Okay. Yep.
17.
Go get mileage out of that spell.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Next attack is a 32, which is a miss.
Yep.
And then it is going to... and it's going to try to bite you, so this jaw then comes down.
He's
to
just going to try to eat me with his head?
Yeah, exactly. So its head just opens up, and it just tries to just... onto yours. And whiffed on it, luckily. Okay. So that was that one's turn. Garn, it is your turn.
Okay. Garn is going to... as a free action, he gets to put his Divine Spark somewhere. He's putting into his Morningstar.
Okay.
And it sucks. It doesn't look like this thing has eyes. Nor does the other thing have eyes. I have this really cool ability, but creatures need to have eyes. So, a little sneak peek.
I mean, they...
No,
they do have eyes. They do.
Okay.
The mouth things have eyes.
Oh, they do?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
And I say that because they have dark vision. So.
Oh.
Interesting. Huh. Well.
So yeah, you know what they're like. What are those giant clams, that have like?
Oh, like the giant bivalve.
Yeah, if you look at like giant clams, I think it is. They have like 100 different eyes, inside. You know what I'm talking about?
I was getting a couple because I was also thinking of conches and stuff because they're like they got eyes technically. But
they
look like an ooze almost.
Yeah, I'm thinking of those like underwater like giant clams that all along the rim of their maybe it's not giant clams. I forget what creature it is, but like
I'm trying to imagine it.
But yeah, they have like a bunch of different eyes. So these things have eyes. They're just really really tiny, like on the side of their head.
Hmm. Wow.
So they're not noticeable, but they if you were right up close to it, you definitely see they had eyes.
Got you. Okay. Well, I think I might start with kind of what I thought I would do anyways, which is I'm going to extra actions only for a stride or a strike. Oh, it says make a melee strike. Okay, yeah. Perfect. So I can... Sorry, my Transcendence Fracture Mountains ability, I can use one of my... I can use one of my hasted actions because it's technically a melee strike. All right, so I'm gonna just go right ahead. I'm going to spark the Transcendence against the creature north of Benson because I have reach.
Oh, yes.
Very nice.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the Morningstar.
It's a great time to have that ability.
Yeah. It has an imperceptible. It looks normal, but not at the same time. And, I hate my dice. I'm trying to tell a story. The story says you miss with a 25.
Yeah, it's a miss.
Okay. So, I spark Transcendence. It goes out. And. Two more actions. I can't send it back into it. For free, it can go into my horn. Really don't want it to go into the horn, so it goes into the horn, and then I take an action to shift it back into my weapon, and my last action, I raise my shield.
Okay.
So if I didn't have haste, it would not be able to be ready the next turn.
By the way,
so.
I think the shellfish you're looking for is a scallop.
I was going to say scallop,
but I thought I was wrong.
I thought I was wrong, too. Scallops are cool. I like them. They taste good,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, they are. They're also very good, yeah. Okay. So, after that, it is the next mouthy maw creature's turn. It is going to... it's going to move to get directly behind Garn and Benson, so it sort of just moves in line with the two of you.
Perfect. Reactive strike.
Okay.
Hey, let's go.
I remember it this time. Oh, good. 19 on the die.
Ooh, shit. Oh, okay.
Okay, let's go.
For a 42?
40 is a crit.
God damn.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking animal.
I see you. These dwarven eyes haven't failed me yet.
Oh, double fours. Snake eyes, kind of.
Kind of. If a snake had four eyes.
Snake had four eyes.
Yeah. Only if a snake had four eyes.
Freak.
Oh, I get to double all this business. So 30 points of damage.
You crack it on the kneecaps, and it you think it curses at you in some language. Okay. Then
you kiss
it is
your mother with that head?
it is going to then make two attacks at you and Benson with its claws. So first one on you. If for a 33.
I was hoping you'd hit.
Hit for you?
Jesus.
Hit me harder.
21 slashing.
I want you to do what
so
I want you to
you
do.
So as you take that slashing, Tim, Kezra... does a quick incantation, and your like arm goes up to like intercept this damage to block, and dragon scales appear all over your arms and like all over your chest, and you now have dragon scales on you, and you have resistance 5 to physical till the beginning of your next turn.
That's cool.
Sick. As a reaction.
Damn. That's dope what? As fuck.
New spell for Kezra.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right.
Benson, are you gonna do anything about that?
I could retro strike that.
Yeah. I think I take 0 damage after both.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah, I think you might. All right, so he doesn't get the reactive strike though.
I do.
You do, yeah, but he does not. Okay.
Oh my god.
Wait, so it was it's 2 plus your level, Benson, so 14 off. Kelly's 5, so 19. How much damage was it? It was 21.
21, yeah.
I think you mean 2 damage.
Who needs heals when you just don't take damage?
Heals
you just
need
don't
to take
fucking take damage. Which, why you need a healer? Just don't fucking take damage.
Does a 32 hit, Jake?
It does, yeah. 32
oh.
does.
Wait a minute. You have multiple reactive strikes?
Yeah, no, the one he gets from this you is free.
I get it for free from you.
Oh, yeah, that's true,
it's
yes
a free reactive, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Okay,
drop
let's
bomb
go.
Drop a bomb.
18 points of damage.
18.
Let's go. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Some of this is spirit. If they're immune to spirit, let me know.
All right. If that is applicable, I will apply it.
Okay.
All right. His other attack will reach out and try to strike Benson in the back of the head.
That's mean.
For a whiff. Don't worry about it.
All right, cool.
So 3 on the die. So,
he just moved just to get whacked.
Just to get whacked twice, yeah.
He did 3 right, damage.
That was the hard-fought 3 damage.
All right, Ambrose, it is your turn.
Okay. Quick question for you. So this hallway, is it squeezing?
Yep.
So that means, what, 5 foot a move?
And you probably can't move past me. You're going to have to delay.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, that sucks. I guess in the meantime that Kezra will probably...
Yeah, Kezra's like, I'm I'm getting moving. I'm gonna get out of here.
If you poke him in the butt, he moves a little bit faster.
Unless you get tricks.
I just keep kicking him, over and over again. I think the only thing he's gonna do, I'm just looking for like any spells to do, and the only one I can think of is from Ambrose.
Finger death and poke Kezra right in the butt.
10,000 years of pain. This Gug, I could technically see him from this angle.
Can you? Oh, you can't. Yeah, you can. You can barely see him. So,
never
if
mind.
If you do any targeted thing, there's some.
No, I can't. I can't. Okay. I just saw the range, and it's a cone. I was like,
Kezra's. You can do that. You would only hit Kezra.
It's true. Well, you know what?
very little downside.
That's true. You know, for the hell of it, he'll just try a telekinetic projectile from this distance.
Sure.
Why not?
Like I said, he's got some.
Oh, he has massive amount of cover. Never mind. Screw that. he's
just delay.
Yeah, no. He's going to actually do a two action. Now, delay. Fuck it.
Delay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then, Kezra, it is your turn. So I'll just move Ambrose behind you then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Kezra is going to get out of this hallway. Actually, hold on. I might.
He's all sit right there.
Right. Just trying to think of the best way to get out of this hallway.
There's no way you could blazing dive out of this hallway.
Unfortunately not.
Rake my body across the cavern.
Just come out shredded cheese. It's just meat hanging off.
Literally,
of me.
Just, like, oh my God.
Kezra came out
grater.
Looking like shredded wheat.
I don't have that in my hand, so yeah, I'm just gonna have to fucking move in there. So two actions.
Stop right at the entrance of that, as these two things are taking attack of opportunity on
you. Oh,
yes. Fuck.
Well, good to know.
So do I want to do the claw or the jaw? I think I'll do the claw for the north one, since you're not right up against it, but the other one you're definitely right up against.
I don't have my
I know my it's already. Like it almost feels fuck. Like it's a, I did
don't worry, 28 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yeah, okay. Like everything's
so
gonna hit.
I will I'm rolling. No, I already used my reaction. I can't use that spell.
22 points of slashing damage. Sorry.
I did. Fortunately, after the warm fight, I did cast a false life on myself, so I have a little more.
Okay,
I have a little more
good.
Beef. You said how much again?
All right, 22 slashing from the north.
Okay.
Claw that hits you, and then here's a jaw strike. The jaw has reach too, so it doesn't really matter. 35 to hit.
Yeah, it's a hit.
Okay.
Not crit though.
22 points of piercing. So you come out, and these claws that seem to reach way too long, and the head, in fact, reaches way too long, just come out and just slash the shit out of you.
Owie. Well, that sucks. I will... Could is there enough room for Ambrose to get through? If I'm in this space?
If you're in this space, I mean, he can move through you.
Okay.
So,
yeah. You can move through your friendly space.
Yeah. All right, then I will just cast shield with my last action.
Okay. Wish you had shield when you walked up.
Yeah, I probably could have cast that first. That would have been smart.
Right. Ambrose, it's now your turn.
Okay, so you said I can only move one square, basically, for an action.
Yep.
Motherfucker. So, one, two. But here I could, like, move up next to Benson.
No, I think you have to go diagonal to me.
Could I go diagonally up?
Yeah, I think that's the only way.
Yeah, no reason not.
It's the only available 5-foot square.
Yeah. I guess so.
Just out of curiosity, can I use his Eidolon as an ally?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Counts as it. And using Act Together, Ambrose is just going to be one square.
Okay.
So he was namely... Lucas. Assist Benson.
Alright.
That's it.
Okay. The creature that is on the ceiling is then going to move in to try to... So it comes swooping down at you, Garn.
Oh, okay.
So it is going to sweep down and try to strike you. So it sort of... It swoops down out of the shadow. But here's the thing, is that you have dark vision. But for everybody else that can't see, like Garn can, this thing just appears like from the ceiling.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
It's so big.
Yes. Very, very large. So this creature is going to it's going to do a fang strike. So fang strike first.
My blood. It's going to take my blood.
Two on the die.
Don't you dare take his blood.
Totally a miss. And then it's going to fly back up.
Oh, you don't be annoying. All right.
Yep.
Can be annoying as shit. So I'm going to leave it in that space, but just know that it's back on the ceiling.
Okay.
Has a speed of... fly at 50 feet, so... So in this massive room, it's just floating up top until it swoops down to attack. So if you want to deal with that, let me know what you want to do. We'll figure it out. After that thing, Benson, it's your turn.
Okay. Well, I think there's really only one thing Benson can do in this situation. That is swing for the fucking fences at the thing in front of him.
All right.
So, 33.
33, it's a hit.
I need a refresher on what my plus is with damage. Give me a second.
Just make sure you raise your shield this turn.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I will be doing that, don't worry. That is 15 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
And I will roll again. Only 28.
That's a miss.
I will raise my shield.
And you raise your shield.
But more importantly, I have my reaction back.
That is true. Okay. So, the creature on the top that Benson just struck, it is going to start flailing, and its arms become unusually elastic. Mm-hmm. And it starts like its joints like disproportionately like unhinged from themselves, and it just starts slashing out wildly at you guys.
Oh god!
So it is going to get to make 4 claw strikes each against a different target.
Oh,
knew it!
Wow!
Monsters get the fun abilities.
They sure do. You guys should be monsters. It's good.
Please.
So first claw strike is going to go against the ghost. Mm-hmm. That is going to be a 33 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
Okay. 31 points of slashing.
Do you want me to retro-strike that, or should I wait for Kezra?
I'll be fine. Kezra needs it more.
Okay.
All right. Next one is going to go against Benson. 39 to hit.
Hits.
Okay. 24 points of slashing.
Okay. I'm still fine.
All right. Third attack, going to go against Kezra. 36 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay.
Retributive strike. Mm.
So this will be 26 points of slashing. And then all the damage reduction you guys get.
And me, Garn, the Knight, all get attacks of opportunity.
Yes, Garn will get it because he has reach, yep. And then the ghost will also get it because he's up in melee.
Oh yeah, he's right there. Let's go.
Oh, that's good. That was a good.
Ugh.
That's beautiful bean footage right there.
Not good for me.
Not good for Garn. Benson, what'd you get?
Natural 19.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Tim, 19 and 22. I'm stupider than
41.
41. Yeah. That's a crit.
Whoa.
Sick. Let's go.
A crit on a reaction. Jesus.
Love that.
Yep.
That's so good.
Uh, 29 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Doubled?
Yeah, it wasn't a great roll, unfortunately.
But 29, that doesn't make sense. It should be an even number.
6, 14. 28, actually.
Okay. 28, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Plus one health back.
Well, I'm not good at math. I'm sorry.
All right, so Garn, you said you missed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the ghosts?
35.
35, that's it.
Ooh. Let's go.
Yeah, that was a decent. That was 17 on die. See, damage.
Let's go.
Ooh, solid damage. 33 points of damage.
Solid.
We are
strong. What do you mean solid?
Dude,
that's incredible.
Dude, that was 8, a 6, a 6, and 6. Like, I rolled almost pretty good. Spirit, if that does anything,
rocks.
And cold, if that does anything.
All seems to go through the same there.
Okay, I was just letting you know.
Gotcha. Alright, so that was a... Okay, so that was the damage against Kezra, right? That was that attack? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so last attack then, going against Garn. Claw out from the back, 27.
That's a miss.
Miss, okay. Ooh. All right. After that, Garn, it's your turn.
All right. Kezra, you took the damage reduction of like 14, right?
Yeah, I did.
All right, perfect. All right, so Garn's turn. Because I have this incredible action economy afforded to me by haste, I have my spark back in my Morningstar. I used last turn. I didn't explicitly set it, but I used the ability called Shift Eminence.
Okay. By the way, are those manipulated at all, or are they just...
Shift Eminence. Nope, Divine Exemplar. I used just my spirit to do that.
Right, yep. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know if there was like a juggling act you did or something like that.
Thankfully not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it just as like a point of information. So when I used the Titan's Breaker, I can't shift Eminence back into the same thing when I spark Transcendence.
Yeah.
So it went into my horn, and then I had to manually shift it. So it's like being Exemplar, there is a lot of action economy I have to manage. And like, if there are a lot of different things going on, like people are taking lots of damage, shifting to Horn of Plenty is, you know, a good move. Speaking of which, I'm going to use my Titan's Breaker. Again, I'm going to try to Fracture Mountain. I really want to Fracture Mountain on the guy to the north. So I'm going to try that again.
Really want
to
Fracture Mountain. Really want to Fracture Mountains, man.
Oh, I think I might have got it. I think I might have got it with a 33.
And this is against just his AC?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to hit.
Heck yeah. Okay. This is where the crazy stuff. Additional spirit damage increases to +4. Her weapon damage die, plus an extra weapon damage. Actually, it says 6, and then 2 extra because I'm in level with the whatever. Okay.
I just want to say, Fracture Mountain sounds like a song a dwarven Limp Bizkit would write.
I fucking love that.
I mean, honestly, you
Fracture
could just say...
Mountains.
I mean, honestly, you say Wind Rose would probably make a song called Fracture Mountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gonna fracture the mountain, fracture
the
mountain, baby. Put your hands up.
Oh wow. Okay.
Did you like 150 damage?
Right.
No, not quite.
Not quite. So.
Not quite. 74.
41 points of damage.
God dang.
Christ.
As I fracture the mountain. And then I get a free, my Transcendence sparks into the Horn of Plenty at my side. I still have 2 actions left, because I'm hasted.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anyone's terribly hurt right now.
No.
Kezra, maybe, but I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine, too.
I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay, that's what I keep thinking. So I think I'm gonna... Man, having this extra action where I could just shift back into the Titan's Breaker is just too good. So shifting back in the Titan's Breaker, raising my shield. This is amazing.
All right. Sorry, are you doing anything else?
That's it.
That's it? Okay.
Just put it all into one swing, basically.
Yeah. Boom! I mean, 41 points of damage a turn is pretty good. Creature on the south's turn. Guess what? He's going to do the same thing. He contorts his body and you hear things shift and his bones extend and he strikes out at all four of you. Going left to right, top to bottom again. Claw strike on the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
For a 38.
Yeah, it hits.
Okay. 24 slashing.
Mm-hmm.
Second strike on Benson. Natural one.
Awesome. Let's go.
Give me that card. Give me that card. Give me that card.
Natural.
Someone to. All right. It's a claw or a melee. What grave miscalculation? You critically hit yourself with the attack.
Oh my god!
Double damage on yourself.
Jesus Christ.
Let's go.
What? That's insane!
Like, we haven't targeted this creature, but because of reactive strikes and because of its own stupidity, it is getting wrecked.
Yeah, that was. It was 42 points of damage.
Oh my god. Okay,
Jesus Christ. Let's go!
So as you picture it, I mean, like, its limbs are just, as you said, flailing wildly.
Yeah.
It would easily smack itself in the face.
Yeah.
It's like playing with nunchucks for the first time. You're like, oh, right. I got this.
He got him before he did his morning stretches.
Yeah, right, yeah. I haven't done my calisthenics. So the next attack is going to go on Kezra. 29 to hit.
Exactly a hit. Damn. And I will break my shield.
Okay.
So shield block this.
Okay. 27 slashing.
All right. That'll be 8 or 7 slashing.
Okay.
Hey, but, Benson, did you already use your.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You already did it. Okay.
Yep.
On the first creature.
Oh, right. Oh, I missed. I forgot.
Yep. Yep. Benson, you calculated last your 5, right? Last time. When you took damage?
Okay. Yes. Yes, don't worry about that.
Claw strike, last one here on Garn.
Right.
44 to hit.
Oof. Oh, that's a crit. Oof.
Damn. Oof.
Damn. That's such a juicy crit. I think I'll look at the damage next episode.
Oh, fuck you.
Come on.
Of course.
Hey there, everybody. Jake the GM here to once again tell you some more about MistyMountainGaming.com. One of the things you'll find on their website that I think every tabletop role-playing group needs is something for the chronicler to use to write your story. And it just so happens Misty Mountain Gaming has gaming journals that you can use. These are handmade, hand-pressed onto leather, and these things have a beautiful little buckle and fantastic designs on them. There are just incredible designs on here. My favorite one is the Mother Earth. Go check these out on their website right now, MistyMountainGaming.com, and pick yourself up one today before they sell out. Make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout, as always, for 10% off, and I'll see you in the next episode.